Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Drive On podcast. Today, my guest is Nina Shevchuk. I knew I was going to butcher that name, so I had to ask her before. But Nina's experience and education combine over 17 years of work and study in the realm of transformation and change, leadership and management, amongst many other areas. And she's completely reinvented her life a couple times now, which I'm sure we're going to talk about in just a minute here. But she's here to help you and me learn how to make the best of worst situations that might happen in our lives, to take the reins and maximize the experiences that we have, even the bad ones. And so with that, welcome to the show, Nina. I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you so much, Scott. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Well, my background, as you mentioned, is in transformation and change, and I'm currently studying psychology and neuroscience of mental health. I'm very passionate about the power of the mind and the power of humans, which I believe is infinite. So I'm studying it all the time. I have reinvented my life completely twice. So twice I started with a blank page and decided that I'm going to create something completely different to what I knew and what I created in the past. And now I am sharing a lot of my experience and my skills by working with people and helping them, especially overcoming adversity. So overcoming situations that are traumatic, that have got potential to, you know, give us wounds that we then carry for the rest of our life. And my passion is to make sure that we move on from those situations with wisdom and not with wounds. And we don't allow those situations to brand us to the point where they influence or dictate the rest of our lives.
And that is amazing, because so many times this type of thing happens where we have a negative or traumatic experience, and that just becomes a part of our identity and who we are, and we can't seem to get past that trauma, and it holds us back from achieving bigger and better things in our lives and making the best of the situation that we've been presented with. Right. And so I'm really excited to get into this conversation and learn more about your story and how you were able to basically transform your life twice now through different adversities and things that had taken place in your life. So this podcast focuses on helping military veterans and their families who might be struggling from different stuff that's happened in their lives. Obviously, you don't have that same military connection, the military background, but some of the lessons that you've learned in your own life are, I think, probably universal from what I've learned about you so far, which is why I wanted to have you here. And thinking about the military veterans, there are a lot of setbacks. When we deploy, there could be friends who are injured or killed in action, could be injured ourselves. At home, there's a much higher rate of divorce than amongst the civilian population. There's a big number of things that could take place. And we usually don't go into a situation like a marriage thinking that it's going to fail. Thinking like, yes, I'm going to go get married to this person, knowing that a year from now or 2 years from now, I'm going to be divorced and it's going to be a complete wreck. How can we make the most of these experiences to better ourselves? And maybe if you could share some of your own personal experience in this and how we can bounce back and be better off after these situations.
Definitely. And like you said, although that, you know, maybe my background is slightly different to majority of your audience, but I have gone through the same things that are universal to us as humans. So have experienced death and trauma, divorce and adversities in all sorts of ways. And it is because our minds are a record of the past, and our minds tend to focus on the past and keep going back over our memories. We basically live in our past. So unless you take control of your mind and change that, you constantly be dragged back into what was. And like you said, none of us ever go into a situation and think, oh, I'm going to get married to this person knowing that I will get divorced. Of course, we get into situations and we think, we hope, we dream that this is it. That we're going to spend our lives together, or, you know, we're going to spend a long time doing what we choose to do, whether that's a career or some passions and so on. And then things happen, and then that may lead to disappointment. And if you allow your mind to be in charge of you, then the mind will drag you constantly into the memories and you'll be living in your past, which isn't very helpful. And I feel like very often, especially now in the kind of, you know, in the world of social media, we see things like, oh, change your thoughts, change your life. And everyone thinks that's true. And then you keep scrolling and you do the same thing over and over again. And you don't actually change your thoughts and you don't change your life. But it's also not as simple. I feel like there is a simplified version of everything in the kind of artificial world of social media where it just says change your thoughts, change your life. But how do you change your thoughts? Right? Like that is the key, because you will have got a set of conscious thoughts, which is about 5% of our brain. And then a 95% is actually subconscious thoughts. And that's the autopilot that we're on. That's what we installed in our minds over the years. So unless you change that, well, the 5% is never going to win over the 95% that's running you on the daily. And I think a big part of our lives is identity, right? Over the years, we create identity. You have identity at school. You have identity when you start your career. Then, you know, you have got identity when you're an adult. And then when things happen, you suddenly think, okay, what does that mean? Like, I'm going to lose my identity because I'm no longer in that marriage or I'm no longer in that career and so on. And I had to go through it twice also whilst I ripped everything apart. And I also had a career that was 17 years within one company. And I knew myself and saw myself as Nina from the company I worked for. And everyone saw me as that too. That was a huge part of my identity. And then when I decided, when my life basically completely fell apart, I decided that needs to go as well. Since everything is falling apart, I'm going to look at my identity and think, what did I create over the years? And what is still true? And what perhaps was true at some point, but then I just kept playing that role because it became part of the external identity. But actually, it either wasn't serving me or it was irrelevant by now. But you feel like you need to play that character in a way, because that's what everyone expects you to do. And that's what, to a point, you expect yourself to do or to be. So that identity, I feel, is a massive part. So it's looking at who you are at the core. And when things happen and you are changing or you're going through a transition or you're transforming, it's going back, you know, going back to the core and be like, what is at the heart and what is at the mind of like who I really am and who do I want to become? Because you don't need to carry the same identity for the rest of your life. In fact, like with every adversity or every bad thing or every trauma that happens, I see as an opportunity to reflect and think, who do I want to become next? And what's coming with me to the future and to the future me, and what needs to stay in the past?
Sure. And with any traumatic experience or adversity that takes place, in a way, it's going to change you. And I think that is somewhat unavoidable, but the way you look at it is it could change you for the better or it could change you for the worse. That's a choice that you need to make. You have to think hard about what it is, like you said, that you want to carry with you and what you want to leave behind. And even the identity issue that you were talking about, like who am I at this point? You know, you were Nina who worked for this company, and then that all got kind of turned around and you had to look at yourself in a different way. And I see a lot of military service members going through that transformation several times in their life, no matter how long their military career is, because, I mean, like anybody else, they grow up, they're children, they're teenagers, they go through high school, and they decide to join the military at some point after that. It could be young when they're 17 or 18 years old or a little bit older, but at some point they go from being a civilian to a service member in the military, and there's a transformation there. They're leaving a part of who they were behind to become this new thing, this person, this character that they've developed in their own mind. And then at some point after that, they're going to leave the military and there's going to be another transformation, because now they're going into this unknown world of becoming a veteran. And now they're no longer in the military, that identity that they had for however long it was. But now they have to figure out how to not be that anymore. And so, you know, going through all of these transformations in your own life, what would be some advice that you might have for people who are going through these transformations, knowing that these transformations are going to take place?
Absolutely. And that, you know, they happen to us all, whether we like or not. And sometimes you know that, you know, there is a lifespan of a career and then you'll be transitioning. And sometimes things happen, like in my case, literally just after midnight on New Year's Eve, and my life completely fell apart, surprisingly to me. So things will happen regardless. And I think the biggest thing is you always have a choice. You have a choice to either get bitter or get better. So you can, that experience can either brand you to a point where you become bitter and you constantly go back over, or back in the day, it was better. Or you can use the wisdom and the experience and everything that you had learned to create something better, use as a foundation for your future. You always have a choice to go with fear of the unknown or choose courage over fear and be like, you know, transformation is uncomfortable. Change is uncomfortable, of course, because our minds always want to bring us to the familiar, and the familiar is in the comfort zone. So anything that is change, it, because it's unknown, it feels scary. Therefore, you know, fear will be screaming in your ears. So you need to choose courage over fear. But that's always a choice, just like getting bitter or better. So the decisions for me are key. The other thing is you can see something as an end. So career coming to an end or some identity coming to an end. Well, you still are having this experience on an incredible planet with so much opportunity. So how can you use this transition as a foundation? And basically, it's like when I was talking to one of my clients, she said, it's basically like climbing up a mountain. This is what we were talking about. She was like, you know, if there is two peaks, you don't carry your full backpack with everything in it to the second one, because it will be too heavy. So some stuff you need to leave at the first one, right? They played the role, you use them for whatever was needed. But then to the final bit, you have to leave some things behind. Otherwise, you won't be able to climb it because it will be too heavy, too hard, whatever. And I thought that was a quite good analogy. So you need to think like, okay, with this transition, what is coming with me? And what is, you know, what needs to stay in the past? And that's not to say that you ignore your past, not to say that you're not grateful for it. The opposite, in fact. You look back at your past with gratitude for everything that, you know, for the experiences that it brought, because it ultimately shaped you to who you are right now. But then some stuff just need to stay, because if it doesn't, you'll constantly be living in the past. And whatever happened, so for example, my own personal story, when my life fell apart on New Year's Eve, people would tell me, oh, you know, it's going to take you 2 or 3 years to get over it. And I understand where this is coming from, because the psychological average of a divorce for the length of relationship that I had with my now ex-husband was exactly that, 2 or 3 years to be able to move on. And then people would be like, oh, this will be a new chapter. And I thought to myself, do I really want to invest 2 or 3 years of my life, of my time, of my emotions into something that no longer now exists? Okay, I didn't choose it, it was out of my control, but regardless of that, it didn't exist. I couldn't go back and change the time, turn back time. I couldn't change it, I couldn't do anything. All I could do, and all any of us can ever do, is be in control of ourselves. We create this illusion that we can control so much more in our lives than we actually do, but the only control you really have is self-control. So in that moment, when it was like, oh my God, I had my fertile life and now it doesn't exist anymore out of the blue. What am I going to do? And people are saying it's going to be 2 or 3 years. I had a choice to make. I can take the 2 or 3 years and give myself that time and think, okay, you know, my life fell apart. Why me? How am I going to move on? Or, and it doesn't matter that it hurt like hell, and it did, but still I had the choice to say, I am not going to give the situation that has already happened and I cannot change 2 or 3 years of my life, because that's another 2 or 3 years of my time on this planet that I'm investing in something that no longer is. It already happened and I cannot change it. So the best thing I can do is to figure out how am I going to move on from it much quicker, and how am I going to use it to get better and not get bitter and not become someone who doesn't trust, who is cynical, who is, you know, angry at the world and so on. How can I use this as a foundation for something better for the future? Rather than feeling like, I had my Faraday and it fell apart. Clearly, my life is rubbish now. Well, if that's the view, what am I going to create? I'm not going to create anything good because I'm just going to be sitting here and feeling bad about what happened. Well, okay, what happened was bad, but by rehearsing the past, which no longer exists, I'm not creating any better future. So what if I think about the future and who do I want to become? What identity do I want to create and what life do I want to create and rehearse that instead of rehearsing the past over and over again? So to me, it's like, it's that decision is key of like, will you decide to get better or will you decide to get bigger? Will you decide to choose courage or will you allow new fear to stop you from creating something new? These are very important to me.
And it is important. And I think to some extent, it is okay to have those emotions, that feeling sad, feeling upset, feeling what conflicting emotions that you might have over whatever it is that's going on. But I think the point is to not let it last the 2 or 3 years. Like in your case, people are saying, oh, it's going to take you 2 or 3 years before you get over this, if you ever really get over something like that, right? But in your case, you're like, well, why does it have to be two or three years? Why can't it be, you know, 2 or 3 days, a week, or, you know, whatever, and then move on and continue working towards a better future, as opposed to putting it off that much longer? You know, for all of us, we all have a certain amount of time here on Earth. And once when that time's up, there's nothing else that you can do. All that control that you had over yourself is now gone. You don't have that control anymore because we're not here anymore. And so if you waste some of that time, then it doesn't help anything. It doesn't help you get to a better destination. So I guess it all sounds great, but how do we do this? Is it a self-control kind of thing? How do we make our minds, you know, almost bulletproof to these kind of setbacks and other tragedies that might take place so that we can then choose the happiness over the bitterness that these wounds, that these things that happen to us can create?
Of course. And I'm glad you mentioned about the emotions and feeling them, because that's very important as well. Like, this process isn't about ignoring your emotions or be like, you know, move on with it. This is an attitude that I grew up with. In fact, when I was going through a quite traumatic time at the age of 16, when someone very close passed away in an accident. And the attitude had been, well, you're lucky that you weren't in the car with them. Move on. And that, you know, it definitely isn't the right advice, but that was how I grew up and that was the approach back then. But it's not really that helpful. So, you know, feeling the emotions is massive part, and going through this, that you will be going through, you know, the grief cycle, really, like, because the grief cycle isn't just connected to someone actually dying. Like, if your marriage falls apart, you will be going through the grief cycle, because you will be in denial, you will be in shock, you will then, you know, you will go through all the stages, because ultimately you will grieve in the dreams that you had that are now no longer going to happen. You grieve in the relationship that you thought will last for the rest of your life, but that's now not going to happen. So you have to allow yourself to feel this, and it's uncomfortable, and you have to sit in the pain. Like, I sat in the pain to a point where I thought I can't take even one more second. But I knew I had to do this and go through this process diligently, because if I don't, it's going to come back at some point and it's going to bite me back in the bum because I haven't processed it. And do I really want any of the emotions from my past to be in my future? Do I want them to be featuring in my next relationships? Do I want to always be scared and being able to trust? No, I don't want that. I want experience that, you know, allows me to trust people and be happy and so on. In order to do this, you have to go through the cycle, and you have to, you know, the thing is that as much as we can tell ourselves, oh, I'm not going to think about this. Well, if you tell yourself, I'm not going to think about chocolate, well, guess what you're going to think about? Chocolate, right? Mind, even though it's capable of thinking of like endless things, the minute you tell yourself, don't think about that, that's all it can think about. And it's not going to help you think of another topic, because it can't. It's like, So it's important to know that it's okay to have those emotions, and it's good to have the emotions, but it's not allowing them to drive your actions, because our thoughts are driving our emotions and vice versa. And then our emotions are driving the chemicals that our body produces. So if you think about something that's causing you to be stressed, then of course you're feeling stressed, and then your body produces the chemicals of stress. And then, you know, if you do that day in, day out, then at some point you will become ill because the immune system cannot cope with the stress that's in your body the whole time. But, you know, in order to be able to control it, you need to start becoming more self-aware. And that self-awareness is paramount in the whole process. So it's becoming aware of your thoughts and becoming aware of your emotions without having to react to them for ages. So what I mean by it is, when I started to observe myself, and I've always considered myself as someone very positive, very resilient. I've been through so much in life. I didn't think there's much that can knock me. Life had proved me wrong, of course. But I always thought, you know, I'm just such a positive person. And then when I started to analyze like what my feelings and my thoughts every day and observe them, I discovered that I spent so much of my day every day feeling frustrated and feeling angry from silly things that didn't really matter. But because that's how I grew up and that's how I behaved for years and years, it just became part of who I was. So I didn't even notice anymore that I was frustrated or angry. It was just who Nina was. And then when I observed it, I thought, oh my gosh, for someone who thinks that they're so positive, I spend a lot of time feeling angry or frustrated. So then once you have that awareness, that gives you the power to change. And that change, it really is a transformation that happens for life. So right now, like, of course, I will still react. And of course, I still sometimes get angry or I get frustrated. But A, I get less angry or frustrated or less often. And when I don't linger in those emotions for ages like I would in the past. So that self-awareness gives you the power to control, yes, feel those emotions, but also observe them, where they're coming from, what's really driving them. And do you really want to feel like this? Like, do you really want to feel angry or frustrated or stressed or worried all the time? None of us want that. But in order to stop that, we need to first become aware of the emotions that we live by and then change them to more positive ones. Because if we could train ourselves to be angry and frustrated most of the time, we can certainly train ourselves to be happy more of the time. But it's also understanding that the thinking and the feeling is one thing, but there's also biochemical processes that are happening within our body. So for example, you know, if your marriage falls apart, the process of disillusionment takes about 90 days for the brain to actually register. So what happens is, and what really hurts, is the fact that up until now, your mind, because our minds plan a future based on our past. So the mind thinks, obviously, the partner that you're with will be there in a year, 2, 5, 10 years. And suddenly, that road is closed and the mind cannot get it because how? Like, forever, it's been planning your future with this person. And now this person is no longer be there. And that's how you can't imagine how you're going to get over this. You can't think, well, how am I going to survive this? What's life going to look like? Because the mind is not yet capable in the initial stages to think of the alternate route and be like, okay, that road is closed. There will be another way. There will be, you know, there will be a different life and whatever. Like, initially, it is a shock. And because the mind is not used to thinking about the future without this person, you feel like you have no idea what's going on, how you're going to get through it. And it hurts. And it hurts like hell. And it's not a nice experience. But even having this knowledge, you know, okay, I've given myself 90 days. And I was like, within the 90 days, I'm going to sit in the pain. I'm going to feel the emotions. I'm not going to make any decisions because they will be driven by the denial, by the shock, but, you know, not by any sort of thinking about the future or whatever. They'll just be driven by knee-jerk reaction. So to give the time to mind to get used to the situation and give yourself the time to be like, this is rubbish and it feels horrendous. It does. It really does. But you can move on from it. And then within that time, you observe your thoughts, you observe your emotions, and then you start to see, okay, this is how I'm feeling right now. These are my predominant thoughts. What do I want them to be in the future? And that's the moment when you start the transformation. Once you're aware, then you can decide. And once you decide, you can start choosing, you know, either fear or courage or getting better or still feeling bitter and so on. But you need to feel the emotions and you need to have those thoughts, but you just need to become aware of them to then have the power to change them. Otherwise, they'll run you like the autopilot because you don't even know that they're there, just like I didn't know I lived by the emotion of frustration or anger.
In a weird way, the the emotions that you are feeling, sadness, the anger, the guilt, the shame, whatever it is that you're feeling, it almost becomes comfortable when you're in that moment. I mean, it's not comfortable because although those things are negative, but it's hard to break out and do the thing that makes you happy, to change your thinking to more positive thoughts. That's almost more uncomfortable than it is to be in that negative emotion. So maybe for someone who has already experienced this type of situation in their life and they are frustrated that they aren't able to get over it and change their way of thinking and become self-aware of their emotions and their thoughts, is there anything you would suggest to help them start creating more positive, happy thoughts and start planning for better things in their future?
Definitely. And it is true that it is more comfortable because it is the familiar, right? Your mind and your body will always crave the familiar, and your body gets addicted to the emotions that you live by. Just like we get addicted to caffeine or, you know, cigarettes or alcohol or various other things, the body gets addicted to the emotions that we feel because it gets addicted to the chemicals that the emotions are creating. So if you're living by the emotions of anger or stress or frustration for however many years, your body is not going to suddenly be like, hey, Scott, you're feeling great today. This feels so good. It's going to go, hello, I've been feeling stressed for 30 years. Like, I'm missing this emotion. And it gets your mind to start thinking about something that will bring back that emotion because it's craving it now, right? Just like you crave the next cigarette if you smoke, or you crave a drink or whatever. We get addicted to this. And so it's not easy to then suddenly, you don't wake up the next day and be like, oh, I'm a different person. I created a different personality and I'm feeling great. It just doesn't happen overnight. Just like the addiction to the current emotions didn't happen overnight. Like, we installed it over years and years. So the thing is, if someone has already been through this, it's like, first of all, be aware that you are not, you know, your mind and your body are not there to run the show. Like, very often people don't realize, you know, people hear like, oh, you are not your thoughts, sounds very fairy or whatever. You are not, like, you don't have to believe your thoughts. Most of the time, our thoughts, our beliefs are not true. They're just, you know, the beliefs are just thoughts that we think over and over again until it becomes a belief. And the thoughts that we install in our brains are just thoughts that we've been thinking day in, day out, heard the same things all the time. And then they become the autopilot. So it's not actually that it's true. It's not even that you really believe in it. But unless you become aware of it, it will run your day just like it did yesterday and the day before yesterday. So if someone has already been through this process and they're feeling like, you know, I can't get over it. And I actually read a blog last week and I can't give credit because I can't remember whose blog it was, that they felt like their depression became that familiar zone that they almost went back to on purpose because it felt like them. So then it made them feel like, oh, you know, I am depressed, so I can get away with this. Like, it became just a familiar thing. It became part of identity and personality. So it wasn't about the depression anymore. It was about the feeling and the craving that, okay, well, this feels like me because I'm feeling depressed and that's my personality now. So for someone who is struggling with this, like, first of all, realize that what's in your head is not necessarily true or not necessarily right. It's just what you installed in it. And you need to become the master of your mind. Otherwise, you are the servant to your brain. And if you allow your brain to run the show for you, it's always going to run it towards the negative and it's always going to run it in the past because that's all it knows. So you need to show in your horizons. So in order to show in your horizons and take it out of the comfort zone is looking for things that, you know, looking for the things that would make you feel different. So what sort of emotions would you like to live by in the future? For me, very important thing is creating that anchor. So I'm here today, but actually in the future, I want my life to be filled with more positive emotions, with more joy, more peace, more bliss, whatever it is that people want. Well, if I want to live by those emotions, who do I need to become in order to have more of those emotions? And then the daily work starts of becoming more self-aware. And every time I catch myself, you know, going back to the past or going to the negative, I go, no, thank you so much, brain, for giving this to me. But actually, I choose to do something else. But here, like going back to the don't think about chocolate example, all you're going to think about is chocolate, is you need to create substitutes. So once you identify that, you know, your mind is negative because of something that has happened in the past, or because it can't see that the future can be more positive than anything that you've had before, you need to create a substitute. So for me, for example, when I was going through the toughest time and my mind would feed me with scenarios from the past and ridiculous scenarios of my ex-husband and things I didn't want to think about, I would go for a walk with the dogs, for example, and I'm thinking, what do I have for dinner? So I choose to think my options, what I'm going to cook. And then suddenly out of nowhere in my mind, I'm having these crazy scenarios that I don't really want to think about. So this is my subconscious mind starting to drive me. So in those moments, I would think I would have a substitute. So it couldn't go back to, oh, no, let's think more about your ex and what happened. I would say, actually, I choose to think about a project for work I was working on or the future that I was trying to create or whatever else. But unless you have that substitute, your mind is going to drive you into the negative, into the worst case scenario, into some crazy stuff that are not even real. They're not even real. Or you can't even prove that they're real. You know, it just imagines things, but imagines negative things. So the substitute is really key, because what you need to do is get the negative thoughts out. So I call it, like, you know, mindscaping. You have to get rid of some weeds and plant new seeds, right? And that takes time. But, you know, if you get rid of weeds and get rid of the negative thoughts, that creates a space for the new seeds to be planted. And that's where the substitute thoughts come in. So don't think about chocolate. When you start thinking about chocolate, you go, no, thank you very much. Actually, I choose to think about, I don't know, sparkling water. Silly example, but you get the point. But that is very important. Otherwise, your mind will always go back in the same circles and the same things. And why did it happen? None of that is going to help, because whatever happened has already happened.
Right. And I've heard the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And in this case, if you're thinking the same thoughts over and over again and wondering to yourself, why am I not getting any happier? Well, it's kind of crazy to think that you're going to get happier with the same negative thoughts and negative beliefs and everything that are fueling this unhappiness that you're going through. So, you know, I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. Sometimes it's easier said than done. Sometimes I think with some people, they're going to need some help to push themselves through there. That willpower that they may have on their own, maybe not good enough. Maybe they need somebody to help them get through this on, you know, in certain circumstances. In other cases, they may be able to do what you did and, you know, just be able to say, okay, no, I'm not going to think this way. I'm going to just force myself to say, no, I'm not thinking these negative thoughts and beliefs and everything. I'm going to focus on the positive. I'm going to change the conversation that's going on in my brain to make it go from that negative thing that's hurting me to something much more positive that is going to help me and push me in a different direction. And I am certain, absolutely certain, that at first it's not going to be easy to make those changes. And your mind, again, is going to want to slip back to that negative mindset because, again, it's familiar and it's comfortable because it's familiar. But the more you push yourself into that more positive way of thinking, the more that will become comfortable and the more likely that will become your default setting when you start having thoughts and beliefs about yourself or a situation where you'll just start to believe the positive things and not believe the negative things, right?
Absolutely. And I think it comes down to the point of, do you want to feel like you're feeling right now, or do you want to feel better, right? Because it, like you said, it is insanity to keep doing the same things and expecting different results. So our thoughts drive our emotions, drive our behaviors, drive our actions, and our actions create the experiences that we have. And the experiences that we have create the overall experience we call life, right? So if you constantly have the same thoughts that drive the same emotions, that drive the same actions and behaviors and create the same experiences, well, if you think I'm going to start from tomorrow or I'll give myself 2 or 3 years, well, you're going to have another period of time where you're feeling like you're feeling right now. And since we're having this conversation, I take it you want a different feeling, or you don't want to live by negative emotions, and, you know, you want to maximize your time on this planet and you know, be happy and do something really good with your time, then you need to change. And every second, and really, like, tomorrow is never promised. So the only time we have got is right now. So every moment is an opportunity to choose. And every moment is an opportunity to choose something different and either choose, you know, the comfort of the past and feeling like you're feeling right now, or choose to say, no, enough, I'm going to create something different. And it is not easy, of course, at the start, especially because of all the autopilots, because of all the routines, because of the habitual thoughts that we have and the habitual emotions and so on. But just like all of that got installed over the years, like now it will take a little bit of time to change it. However, what do you want more? Do you want more feeling like you're feeling and feeling, you know, the emotions of some traumatic experiences? Or do you want more feeling of peace and feeling of happiness and feeling of more love? Well, if you want feeling of happiness, more love, kindness, care, whatever, then you can think what you're thinking and behave like you're behaving right now. You need to change it, and you have the power to change it. Like, you have the power to change it. And of course, some experiences are so traumatic, it takes a little bit more time, but ultimately it all comes down to the fact still that you need to take the reins of your mind. Like, if you allow your mind to run the show for you, it's not going to create anything different. It's going to constantly repeat the same scenarios and the same things. And that's not going to help you to create a different life. That's not going to help you to create a different identity. And I always say, never be afraid to go and get professional help. Like, throughout my life, I've always worked with coaches, with therapists, with mentors, with academics. And I constantly study and I constantly do things because I want my brain not to be stuck where it is, but I want to push the limits and show it that it can trust me to know what I want and not feel like it needs to be scared and constantly bring me back to the past because it feels familiar. And all of us have got the power. And this is sometimes I hear, you know, people will say, which is really lovely and I'm very grateful for it. You're such an inspiration. You're fearless. You have so much courage. But, and that's lovely, but I am not different to anyone else. Like, I am normal, special. I don't have any superpowers. I don't have a bigger or better brain or whatever. Like, we all have that power within us. And, you know, some of us go through better experiences. Some of us go through worse experiences and so on. But all of us still got the same power and the same choice every day. So how we create our lives is within our control. And yes, there are some things that are uncontrollable, like situations that are outside of us. But the world within you, which is the most important world, is in your power. So, you know, you can, because for me, because when I created both of my lives, I ended up being in completely different countries. People think, oh, you can just move somewhere and that helps. Maybe it helps, but really, you know, it's a tiny percentage. Removing yourself from environments that has some obvious triggers will obviously help. However, unless you sort out your external world, I could be on the moon and I could be miserable. I could still be sad. I could be heartbroken. I could be bitter. I could, you know, I could have still be have so many wounds that I can't move on. And it doesn't matter where I am or who I am with or what am I doing, I'm still sad. So the point is that when your internal world is in order, when you have really worked on your mind, on your emotions and on who you want to become, and you do that daily, then it doesn't matter whether you are in the same environment or different environment, because your internal environment is in order. And that's the key. You know, I often see people say, oh, it's my boss, or it's this, or it's that. That is the issue. This is what drives me crazy. Those things may be triggers, but it's you who's driving yourself crazy, right? Just like no one can make you feel happy, you make yourself feel happy. Like, we generate the emotions. The emotions that we generate don't come from outside. They come from within. They come from our thoughts. So yes, they may be connected to someone or something or experience that you're having, but ultimately, you know, it is you thinking about that car or that person or the experience and the thoughts that you're having that is creating happiness. Or the opposite, it is whatever thoughts you're having that is creating sadness or, you know, feeling devastated and so on. So the internal world drives everything. That's why when people are like, oh, you know, this person's midlife crisis, they're buying a new car and buying a new house and whatever. Well, that never leads to happiness, because once you got the car and the initial, you know, excitement wears off, you suddenly feel, oh, I need the house. Then you get the house and that didn't tick the box. And then there's something else. So you're constantly on a hunt for something else, because what you're doing is you're trying to fix what's missing inside with external stuff. So really, when it starts with your thoughts, that's where we need to, that's where we need to look. And I feel so frustrated sometimes where I hear people like, you need to eat well for your body to be good. I get it. And you need, you know, you need to go for a walk and you need to sleep. I get it. I get it all. And this is all very helpful. But really, fundamentally, unless you sort out your thoughts, you can eat well and sleep well. But if you wake up and you start to think that you're unhappy, that, you know, life is hard, that everything is difficult and the world is a bad place, all the food in the world and all the sleep in the world is not going to help you, because you are living by emotions that are negative and you're creating chemicals of stress, and that's going to lead to illness even if you eat well. So that, yeah,
and it was interesting earlier you had mentioned how some of these chemicals that exist in your brain, that this from stress and everything else, are things that you actually do sort of become addicted to. And like, you may become addicted to cigarettes or alcohol or other substances, your body might actually start to crave some of this. And that makes it that much harder to overcome some of this. But just like any other chemical addiction that you might have, be it alcohol or tobacco or anything else, you can overcome it. It's not easy all the time. I mean, for some people, it's easier than others, but it may not be easy, but you can overcome it and you can get yourself to a point where you are not totally dependent on that, and you create a new, almost a new dependence on the other chemicals, happier chemicals in your brain, that now you want more of that and you start craving that and you start chasing after that. And you, by association with that, you'll create a better, happier life.
100%. And it is like, you know, when you want to buy a red car, for example, what do? You suddenly start seeing red cars everywhere, right? Or if you want to buy a specific brand of a car, suddenly you start seeing more and more of those cars. Is there more and more of them on the road out of the blue? No, they've always been there. You just didn't pay any attention to them. Therefore, you didn't see them as much. And this is how our brains work as well. So if you are thinking something negative, your brain isn't suddenly going to say, oh, Scott, let's think about pretty flower now. It's going to give you more negative thoughts, right? Because you're already in that realm. It's just going to continue to feed you with more thoughts that within that realm. And then that obviously will generate similar emotions. It doesn't go to the opposite. But if you start, you know, if you consciously start to think, okay, my brain is going towards the negative, so I choose to think about something that makes you feel happy. I don't know, painting, playing golf, whatever it is that makes you feel happy. And you start switching this, then your brain gets trained to start seeing more positives, just like it suddenly sees more red cars or that brand of a car that you really want. So the more you do this and the more you help your brain, and this is how I see you, you have to be the master of your mind and you have to help it. And in order to help it, you don't just let it run off and do what it wants. You say, no, come back. I see that you're going, you know, to the left. And I want you to think about something better. And the more you do that, the more the brain gets trained to start seeing the positives, to start looking out for the red cars or whatever it is that you want to think about. And the more you think the positives, the more positive thoughts it will start to feed you and the more positive emotions that will drive. So as much as I totally understand that there's so many things that happen in life that really can, you know, they can be life-changing, not in a positive way in terms of experience, but really, do you really want to spend the rest of your life feeling sad because of something that you cannot change and don't have control over? Like, I often hear, especially with COVID, people are saying, you know, it's sad because they lost someone close and so on. But what's the best thing that you can do? Well, you can't bring their life back, unfortunately, as much as we would all love to do that. But the best thing you can do is go on and live the best life that you can in their memory, because they didn't have that chance. So you being sad and miserable is not going to help their experience and is ruining your experience. It's the same when sometimes people are feeling, you know, you feel sorry for other people, or, you know, people that maybe have less than us or are less privileged, but you not having your lunch because someone in another country cannot afford lunch isn't helping them and isn't helping you. So what's the best thing that you can do? The best thing is that you look after yourself, you live your best life, and you use the energy and the positive energy that you're creating and the positive experience that you're creating to help others Because if you don't eat your lunch in solidarity with someone else who cannot have lunch, you are not helping them. You are just creating a negative experience for yourself and going to run yourself into the ground. And that makes two people who cannot have good experience. Whereas if you look after yourself and look after your mind and you become an example for others and you can help others because you have the experience, you have the strength, you have the energy, and you have the possibility, well, that's how we can help the world. We don't help the world by, you know, creating a negative experience. Two negatives don't make one positive, right? So the best you can do to help others is become a good example.
Well, I love how you put that. And I think that's maybe a great place to wrap up this episode. But I want to give you the opportunity to let people know where they can go to get in touch with you, find out more about yourself and the things that you do.
Absolutely. I'm all over the place. Literally all over the world. So people can find me by my website, which is themidliferevolution.com. You can email me at nina@themidliferevolution.com. I'm also on Instagram and nina_themidliferevolution. I'm also on Facebook and LinkedIn under Nina, SZEWCZAK, Chef Chuck. For obviously anyone who doesn't know how to pronounce it, because it is a rather tricky one. So I'm all over social media and I'm always happy to answer any questions, always happy to help. I work with people via one-to-one, and I also have an online course that people can join if they feel like self-learning is best for them. So a variety of options, and I'm always happy to share anything that I know and any experiences. And it's really important for me to always study alongside anything that I'm doing, because whoever I work with, I want to know that they feel they're comfortable in my hands, and it's not, oh, I've survived something or I've got through something, so let me show you how it's done, because it doesn't work like this. We're all too unique for us to just follow someone's blueprint. That's why I want to make sure that my knowledge is from experience, from theoretical point of view, from practicing, applying, reapplying and tweaking things to make sure that it really is tailored to the person. So yeah, I'm always happy to share anything and happy to help in any way that I can.
Well, that's great. And I will have links to everything that you mentioned in the show notes of this episode. So anyone who wants to check out your website or follow you on social media, they can do that there without having to worry about the spelling of the name or any of that. So it'll be nice and easy to link to that. So thank you again for sharing your experiences and sharing the insight into how we can create better experiences for ourselves. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. So thank you again.
And thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Sun, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.